Welcome to episode 249 of Five and Dive. It is Tuesday, October 18th. I am your host, Craig Goldstein, editor-in-chief of Baseball Prospectus. Joining me as my co-host, Jeffrey Paternoster, lead prospect writer for Baseball Prospectus. Jeff, I'm stumbling because I don't know about you. You might actually be busier than me at this point, but I'm dragging. We're only at one championship series, and the playoffs are killing my sleep schedule. I'm not functional.
Almost like they're too long, Craig.
Yeah, you could say that. I don't know. I was talking to Meg, obviously, for people, Meg Rowley from Fangraphs, and she said something like, if the playoffs were more extended, like this could be at a more leisurely pace and this wouldn't be like so breakneck and people would be in better shape. And I was like, it would just be this, but more. Because they are longer now and it's just like before, but more.
So on that note, I do have a little coffee chat, Craig. So I have the Kensington blend from Reanimator. I forget what it is. I've had it before. It's your standard like chocolate, walnut, toffee, dark roast. It's fine. Mm-hmm. It's good. It's nice. It's pleasant. It's not like overly roasty like some of those dark roasts can be. But I made cold brew concentrate with like the trade coffee cold brew bags. And I'm pretty judicious about measuring out the right amount of water, ice, and or milk to make it fit. Now I'm just eyeballing it. It's a little too much cold brew concentrate in here. we'll just go with it.
Yeah. I have taken to just making 10 cups of coffee at a time and throwing the whole damn carafe into the fridge to cool it down. And like, again, I am not measuring any, I'm eyeballing everything.
Yeah. I'm literally at the point where I'm working on like six lists at the same time. So I'm forgetting which, like I went in to do the Connor Prelip blurb last night and was like looking for him on the Rockies list instead of the Twins list. And just like,
I feel so bad. We had a preview that, so like to generate the graphics in our previews, I use an Excel document or whatever. It's not fancy or whatever, but it works. And I updated the color scheme. I'm using the right hex code for the team, right? I'm trying to get it right, but I forgot on the projection to update from Atlanta to San Diego. So it's all San Diego Brown and it's the right players, everything like that. Yeah. It said ATL instead of SD. And someone pointed it out and I changed that. And then someone was like, yeah, your projection adds up to like 100.9%. And I'm like, look, I should catch this. These are my mistakes, but there's so much going on at all times and at terrible hours that like, it's just, I don't know.
To be fair, Philadelphia is a little more than 1% extra right now. So
This whole series is going to be a little extra. I should have gone with that. That would have been a better. I just fixed it and said I'm sorry. But why don't we get to? We'll start with the prior series, the ones that are done anyway, and then we'll move on. We'll go into our first topic. If you like pina coladas and 18 inning playoff games, that's close enough. Bauman would pick at it, but I think
I play with a couple different options there, but that's. I think it was the best option.
I think it's good. I like it. So the Mariners making the most in terms of literally just innings, I guess.
Yes, they got as much as you can get out of one home playoff game in 21 years or whatever it is.
Exactly. 18 innings, not getting as much out of their offense as they would have hoped. 0 runs. Jeremy Pena in the 18th hit a solo home run that I will be honest, I did not think on that swing off the bat
his power's real.
Off the bat, I was a little surprised. I don't know. I watched most of this game. I ended up basically missing the other ALDS game because it overlapped.
Right.
This one extended into the Dodgers time slot.
I was recording for all you kids for a large portion of this and getting like updates from Jared. I just remember him like moaning.
Couldn't have been more than half.
Yeah. Moaning when Luis Garcia came in because of how slow he works on top of everything else.
Yeah. He does the rocking the baby. Not quite Josh Naylor's version of that. No. But, you know. I don't know what to say about this. I mean, look, I think that for Seattle to play. Look, they were swept.
Mm-hmm.
They also, what I think it was four runs.
Yeah.
Separated the two teams over three games. That's a good showing for Seattle. I think
sure.
Houston's a very good team.
Yeah.
I would predict them to lose in this series.
Yep.
A sweep doesn't really surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I thought it was, you know, as people will tell you, like, they should have won game one for sure.
Yeah.
They maybe should have won game two, and they lost an 18 inning game by one run.
Yeah.
That's baseball, Susan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right? I mean, like, I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah, this ties back to what we said in the last show. You have to be, I mean, in Seattle specifically would have to be perfect to beat Houston.
Yeah, and they were close.
Yeah.
They were pretty close. You know, it's really hard to beat Yordan Alvarez.
Yeah.
So before we get to what's next for Seattle, I have an obvious answer to this, but is Houston the clear favorite?
Yeah, I don't know why I put this in here. It's like,
yeah, they are, right? They're just the most complete team yes. left in the playoffs.
No, their rotation is pretty well set to go into the ALCS. They're going to be facing a team that's basically going to be flying into Houston at 1 a.m.
Right.
Late tonight, early tomorrow morning, however you want to phrase it. And yeah.
I mean, we'll get to it, I guess. But I am curious if Shane Bieber is, obviously the Guardians might not advance, but if Shane Bieber is going to pitch in this game at all.
Yeah.
I've seen people suspect he might. I can't imagine he would.
You got to win the
if
game.
If he's going to pitch in this game, you might as well start him.
I guess that's a fair point.
That's what I don't know. I mean, and also, like, I understand you have to play for today before tomorrow, but what are they going to do tomorrow?
Right. If you know he can give you three innings or whatever, you might as well get the first three when you know it's a tie game.
That's what I would do, yeah. personally. And if again, if you're going to use him today, you yeah. have nobody for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, normally there's an off day you can set your...
Yeah. I guess they can pull, like...
Plesac?
Well, you can. They can reset their roster because it's a new series, right?
Sure, but okay.
I'd pull Gavin Williams. Seriously, I think he's your best option. I'm not even joking.
He might be. I would, Jeff. I would love that.
Yeah,
I would. Absolutely
They've done this before. They did
that.
It with like what's his name in Game Four of the. They had to pull like a completely random starter out of the minors. I forget against who. It might have been the Yankees. He threw like five innings for them. And then like all Cleveland fans like bought himself off his wedding registry. This was a whole story in the playoffs a couple of years ago, Craig.
Okay.
I don't remember who it is. It might have literally been Eli. I think it was Eli Morgan.
Okay.
I think they pulled him straight from the minors to make a playoff start.
Maybe. He's not Gavin Williams. I mean, let's be...
Right, but I'm saying they've done this before. Gavin Williams is better than Eli Morgan was.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm
that's
saying.
That's the point, that's, yes.
Well, yeah, I would love it. I think that, but yeah, okay. Anyway.
You could throw other Logan Allen, who I think has more AAA time, to Tanner Beebe.
I don't think they have. You mean the bad Logan Allen?
No, the good
the
Logan
one who's been in the majors?
No.
Oh, I didn't know he was
other
up in AAA
lefty,
already.
Yeah, he pitched some time in AAA this year.
Oh, okay.
But I think Gavin Williams in that, like, I would pitch Gavin Williams before Zach Plesac.
Yeah, no, I would too, but they seem to keep carrying Zach Plesac.
Yeah.
You're
he
right.
He looked fine in game four or whatever for the bit he pitched.
He did. Yeah. He did. That's
I
true.
Mean, he looked like Zach
anyway,
Plesac.
We'll get to Cleveland.
We'll get to Cleveland.
What is next for Seattle?
Man, they got to sign two major impact bats.
Yeah. The lineup is not.
I mean, if you're it's go
where
time.
It needs to be.
They have the rotation. It's go time. If you're serious, sign two bats. You can't count on this bullpen being as good next year. All they have the pieces in play. But yeah, you got to go sign. You got to go sign like two middle infielders, right? Shortstop and a second baseman, basically. Yeah, you can get an outfielder too, or one middle infielder and one outfielder.
What are you going to do with franchise shortstop J.P. Crawford?
He can play second base. Look, I love J.P. Crawford, but...
I know. I know you do, as do I.
I mean, that's... And, like, that's... If you want to sign...
But he cannot be he cannot be the reason you don't sign.
He can't.
Trey
he
Turner can't or Carlos the, Correa. Or
he also can't be
whoever.
Batting sixth or seventh in your lineup if you're serious about knocking off Houston next time.
Right. Right. Yeah, I mean, I think you've got... Where are you improving? Second base is an obvious place for improvement, and maybe that means you sign a shortstop and move Crawford.
Sure.
I don't... Off the top of my head, I don't think the market for second base, pure second baseman are, yeah. Is particularly good.
You can go sign Brandon Nimmo.
Yeah, you need... So left Put field Nimmo. Is Jared Kelnick.
Yeah. You sign Nimmo, who's, you know, was a pretty good center fielder this year. I'm sure he's still an above average left fielder. You can bat him lead off in
big on base.
Rodriguez second, and you know
your on base gets way better. Ty
gets
France
better.
Is
he hits
fine
a lot of doubles, so you get runners in third. Scoring position for Rodriguez batting second. Yeah,
honestly, they can also just go sign a DH. Mm-hmm. Your DH was Carlos Santana, and I know he wasn't bad, but a lot of that was walk rate. You like if you had a real DH, like someone who could actually just straight up hit, that changes the dynamic of this team a substantial amount. I think.
You can't count on the bullpen. You can't really count on Eugenio Suarez doing this again, given how up and down he's
not
been
this, but I think he's
years.
Okay.
Yeah, he might be. Yeah, but
yeah, I mean he's only 31 right now. It's not like he's 35.
Right, but like the only two bats you're fairly like confident in next year, I think, are Julio Rodriguez and Ty France.
Yeah, no, I think that's
and
right.
That's a problem, right? Like this was only like what a 90-win team this year. You have a very competitive AL East. Now maybe those teams beat each other up and up. It doesn't matter, and like they're not really. But you got to be looking now, thinking the target isn't trying to get the 5 or the 6 seed. The target's the Astros.
Yeah,
that has to be the attitude, and I don't know if front office or ownership really has the stomach for that. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder even if just at a straight up DH level, like maybe you take. I mean, I don't know if he's healthy, obviously, but someone like Michael Brantley, who's not like the big power bat, but you put him in DH, he's probably not hurt as often. Mm-hmm. They had him out in left field a fair amount in Houston. You know, someone like that is just a consistent good hitter. You know, the risk there is he's older. And been hurt a lot, obviously. But
they don't have much. Yeah, they basically, you know, they emptied the farm system essentially for Castillo, and they should not regret that at all.
That was a good trade.
They extended him, but they also don't have a lot coming in the upper minors at this point. That's pretty much. Right. They've probably emptied it a little more,
but you're not going to get an elite bat or anything like that.
Sure.
With what they have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think second base, left field, right field, and DH.
Prospect, you can package him for, especially if you're all in on Cal Raleigh, which God knows they might be. So,
I'm sure they are. And again, you can succeed with that profile. You just have to keep hitting for power.
Yes.
And obviously, it came out after he catches every inning of this 18-inning game. He's been playing with a torn ligament in his thumb and I don't know, bone chips or something else going on. But yeah, I mean, I think just to sum up, left field, right field, second base, DH. You've got to get two of those to be legitimate, not just major league hitters, but good major league hitters.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's absolutely the play because the pitching is there. Even if the relief, you know, we'll see if it's as good or not. But regardless, the starting pitching is there.
Right. And then also, hypothetically, it's easier to sort of fix the bullpen on the fly than it is.
Yeah.
Gaping holes in your lineup.
But I think certainly DePoto can swing trades and do that kind of thing. Our second segment of the show, Craig complains about the Dodgers with runners in scoring position. No, I don't have complaints. They didn't hit with runners in scoring position.
Yes.
It's really hard to win a series that way. I found game three really frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
But game four was also frustrating.
Right.
It was, you know, just, it's a bad inning, but like,
yeah, I mean, they threw their best relievers against the bottom of the Padres lineup and
they got beat.
They got beat.
The bottom of the Padres lineup beat everybody, their best starters and their best relievers. And
they beat the
Mets Dodgers
up too.
And the Dodgers had their opportunities. They had guys on second base and third base constantly. And the most they did was a Freddie Freeman double down the line And the second most they did was a couple sack flies.
Even when they got the 3-0 lead in game four, they left. You know, they had a chance to really put that game away.
It was 2-0 with the bases loaded against a reliever, which is the first time they had cracked a reliever at all. Will Smith absolutely smoked a ball. Best contact he had made all series was a fly out. It was a sack fly. They got one run. They didn't score anymore. You bases loaded, no out, and you scored one run. That's not going to do it. That's not going to do it in a tight series. And credit to the Padres relievers for shutting them down. You know, I think there was a lot of traffic against the Padres starters, same amount of traffic against the Dodgers starters, kind of. And the Padres did a better job of cashing them in. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens in a 5-game series. That's what would happen in a 7-game series. If you hit like the Dodgers did in this series, you're not going to win, or you're going to make it really hard to win.
They were one of the best hitting teams with runners in scoring position this year because they were just one of the best hitting teams, period. But
correct.
They basically, you know, there wasn't a gap there.
We can talk about, I've seen stuff, oh, they were built to win in the regular season, but not in the postseason. Bullshit. They were built to win in the postseason. Their first three hitters were Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, and Trey Turner.
So I think there is something to
a lot of them. Mookie and Freeman had a great last game, but aside from that, struggled a fair amount with guys on base in front of him, and Mookie did too. These are proven playoff performers, the two of them.
So it's not proven. Even that's certainly part of it, but we can get into the playoffs are a crapshoot thing that's been going around, and we need to fix the playoff system. So obviously 3 100 win teams are out: the Mets, the Braves, and the Dodgers.
This has caused a lot of consternation.
It has, but what do all those teams have in common, Craig?
They're in the National League.
No, their top two pitchers were all not 100% going into the playoffs.
Yeah.
The Dodgers didn't have Walker Buehler, and Tony Gonsolin couldn't give you much. Spencer Strider came back too soon from an oblique injury, and Fried was at some sort of illness issue. The Mets, you know, DeGrom, I don't know what to make of Jacob DeGrom, and Scherzer was still dealing with an oblique issue. What wasn't the issue with the Phillies and the Padres? Their top two starters were ready to go. And other stuff happened too, but I think that's what you can point to.
I think that's a fair point. What I would say about the Dodgers is Walker Buehler was probably their fifth or sixth best pitcher, even when he was pitching this year. Then he got hurt and they won 111 games regardless. I understand that they didn't have him, and having him at full strength is having a number one in your rotation.
Right. And again, it's when a you real loss. The 1-15 on that roster. The Dodgers are still better than the Padres. They are not. The gap is slimmer than it is 1-26 or 1-40.
Yeah. Okay. So, right. I've seen this point in that, like, their 16-40 or whatever is better. And that is true.
Yeah.
There's no argument with that. But what you said, the 1-15, it might be slimmer. It's still substantial.
No, absolutely. Yeah. We both, I predicted them to win in a sweep. Yeah. So, like,
My point isn't that like randomness got them. Right. My point is they got outplayed in a series, and that happens. This team won one game out of six against the Pirates this year.
Yep.
And it wasn't like they were purely unlucky. They were bad in some of those games. They had two streaks during the year where they were also 0-19 or 0-17 with runners in scoring position. Right. This happened to them. And when it happens, they lose.
Yes.
I will suggest
that basically when any team goes 0-19 in runners in scoring position, they're probably not picking up wins in that time period.
Yeah. And again, I'm not, I tweeted this out. Like there's an interaction here between what the Padres are pitching and the Dodgers are hitting.
Sure.
It's not pure Dodgers failure. I don't know where one ends and the other begins in terms of like credit and blame. And I don't know that I care. I do credit the Padres and I do blame the Dodgers hitters. Yeah. And there's an interaction there. You know, it is what it is. Did the Dodgers miss some fat pitches?
Yeah.
Yes. Did the Padres execute a lot better, you know, as pitchers in that situation than the Dodgers? Also, yes.
It's like Francisco Lindor says, the pitchers drive nice cars too. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So, I mean, look, I think this is a very good Padres team. I think their 89 wins undersells their overall talent. I think all year they had bullpen issues that lost them games. And in this series, they shortened it to their four best guys, and their four best guys gave them a lot of really good innings.
Yeah.
And look, you can draw a parallel to the 2021 Braves on that front.
Yeah.
I don't, you, Will Smith was a problem all 2021 for the Braves. He blew a ton of games for them. They won 88 games. They get to the playoffs, and it's AJ Minter and Tyler Matzek and Luke Jackson and Will Smith, like, what, gave up like three runs the whole playoffs or something like that? And he was locked down, and they won a title in part because of that. Yeah. I mean, that was a big part of their success.
Right.
What I'm looking at when I see the Padres.
The post-trade deadline Josh Hader is not the Josh Hader you got in really the last couple of weeks of the season, but certainly in
He turned it around. Yeah, he looked great.
He's throwing 99-100 consistently. Robert Suarez
looks incredible.
Nick Martinez has been a huge factor for them out of the pen in the playoffs.
Those four guys have been fantastic. And honestly, like rookie Steven Wilson is like, again, has one of the most anonymous names. You're not going to know who he is.
And this is how this happens. Any team that makes it, you know, a wild card team that makes a deep run, you get sort of, you know, Trent Grisham at the plate, obviously, too, after a bad season.
Yeah. Grisham has been bad all year. Yeah. He's turned it around. I mean, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I do know,
but they're also throwing him, you know, that home run that he hit against, who was it? It was the 2-1 game where he hit the home run that gave him the advantage. It wasn't Vesia. I don't know. It was off a lefty. It was supposed to be in. It floated back over the plate, and the guy absolutely hammered it. I mean, but that's a bad pitch too, right? Like, he did what he was supposed to do with it.
I do want to make
it's not all fluky.
A point about the quote unquote consternation. Outside of like people quote tweeting Joe Scarborough on my feed, I've seen way more complaining about the complaining than the actual complaints. And two,
I can tell you I've seen a lot of complaints.
I am like, I don't give a shit about the upsets. Like, upsets happen in the playoffs all the time. My issue is that we don't need to have 40% of the league in the playoffs. We just don't. And like the same people that were like losing their mind over the league ass for, you know, 14 playoff teams or even 16 playoff teams is like anti-labor and diminishing the regular season are all like, ooh, shiny playoffs now.
Yeah.
And
so,
yeah,
okay,
they've been great
games,
but like, we do not need to put 40% of the league in the playoffs. We just don't.
I have a few kind of distinct thoughts on this. So one, I agree. Yeah. I do not. I mean, I think we talked about this at the time. I do not like expanding the playoffs. I do think it.
I mean, we just need to say the Mariners need to sign two good bats to be like, and they made the playoffs this year, right? We went over the Guardians and the Rays lineup. We can do the same thing with the Phillies and the Padres if you really want to. Yes, they're hitting well now, but
yeah. Well, and also let's talk about the Phillies rotation after, you know, their best starters. But yeah, I mean, look. I do not think we need this wide a playoff field.
Yeah.
It's not to my preference. But it, you know, look, these upsets at 10 teams, when it was 10 teams in, the Mets would have lost game one to the Padres. Fine. Yeah. You know, maybe they would have thrown DeGrom. I don't know. But yeah, like,
sure, whatever.
Let's say it was Scherzer, but again, just as good, arguably. And they would have lost game one, and that would have been it. They would have faced the Dodgers in a five-game series, and they would have beaten them. And that's the Dodgers got spotted one game with a Mike Clevenger start, and then they lost the next three of the Padres' best pitchers. I don't know, you know, that is what it is. That's and look, I said all this online, but I really want to stress it that like what I need people to do is a better job of separating what the playoffs are and do from the regular season. The regular season is not simply an entree to the postseason.
It is
an entree to the postseason.
Everyone treats
it
like that. Even the people making that argument retrospectively now to talk about how great the playoffs are, you know, it's just a stream of like different fandoms dunking on other teams for fans for
the
entire
playoffs. But the playoffs are great. And the playoffs are fun, and I like the volatility. I don't, but what it's, I think, hard to keep in mind, and I include myself in this, is that it determines the World Series champion. It doesn't determine who the best team was, because it's a short, but we again, just had a 162 game season across 30 teams to do that. And the fun of it, the sure. fun of it is you take the top X teams. Right now it's 12, used to be 8, then it was 10, now it's 12, and put them in a contest and see who comes out on top. And that's the fun part, is that these are the better teams that we have this season, and then they're playing each
We're
other.
Starting to me, really, really that's stretch good. The definition of better teams at this point with
but it, 12. But it is. As I said, look, you can complain about the 87 win Phillies being part of this. The 88 win Braves won the World Series last year. Who
I do
gives
think it's,
a shit?
I think it's different it's a if you win your
I mean,
division,
it's just a tournament,
I know what you're
man.
Saying, yeah. I know what you're saying. But also, who was the best team in 2004?
I don't know.
Right. You probably can name who the World
well,
Series champion
was. Well, I know, but
was.
I think I
that's,
I think
that's
the
what
league,
I'm saying.
I think the league and right, no, you're describing
the league
how
just
it
wants
and
the TV
I
rights
that.
For the extra rounds. That's all
I
they
know
care
what
about.
The league wants, Jeff. I'm not what I'm saying is what I want. Mm-hmm. And it's that I think it would be better off if the league and all of us did a better job of understanding like or appreciating the regular season for what it is. I mean, I think I had a lot of people saying, and I actually agree. I'm curious what you think as you wear a Sheffield Wednesday beanie and sweatshirt. I know there's
yeah.
the sweatshirt, but the beanie too.
If we get done with this, I'm watching them in a dead rubber with the Leicester City under 21s and the Papa John's trophy. So,
okay. So what the EPL does.
Yes.
Is there is no postseason.
Correct. They play, it's a completely balanced schedule, and you get the most points, you get the trophy.
The regular season is what's important.
Yes.
There are non-regular season tournaments, yes. Obviously. There's the UEFA, there's the Champions
Yeah, the Champions League, the Europa League, Europa Conference League, and England specifically, you have the League Cup, the FA Cup, League
right.
Trophy or Papa John's Trophy, and there's like there's another like lower non-league one, which I forget what it's called. The FA Vase. Yeah.
So look, you can't just import all those things. You can't play a baseball tournament in the middle of a baseball season
right.
with
if
the way
MLB
that they do
wants
soccer.
To do promotion relegation, I'm here for it.
Right. No. Well, and as would I be, I know they're not going to, I understand that. But at the same time, like the regular season is what matters there. Mm-hmm. And look, I understand people will also say like, oh, the NHL awards, the President's Cup. No one gives a shit about the President's Cup. I'm aware.
Yeah. Yeah. The same thing.
I know
the supporters shield or whatever it is for MLS is a little more important, I think, but still also MLS for some reason, like half the league gets in the playoffs too. So.
I understand the whole thing is to make money, but part of the reason people do tournaments in any sport, in any game, whatever, is the volatility of it, right? Is
sure.
that it's a short run nature. It's the same thing in poker as it is in a cash game. If you're the best player over the long run, you're going to come out the best. Mm-hmm. In a tournament, when you're out, you're out. You know what I mean? There's not, you can't play the long run the same way.
Matt Snyder, who I like to be clear.
From CBS Sports.
Yeah, made a tweet about like, oh, well, the 1906, this team that was 20 games better than the other team, or worse than the other team won the World Series. I'm like, yeah, okay. 1/8 the league made the playoffs then. So those were the two, like, look,
yeah,
stuff
I mean, look,
in a
I
season,
had a lot
right?
of people
if
telling
you,
me.
If you win a division with 84 games, God bless you. Fair
I had
enough.
A lot of people telling me the 87 Twins.
2006 Cardinals. Again.
Sure.
Fair enough.
Right.
I don't know, but that's the divisional structure they put in place, you know, Philly since the 60s at this point. Whatever.
You want a smaller playoffs.
I
understand.
A smaller playoff. That's all.
But still want a playoffs.
Yes.
That includes the volatility that the playoff includes.
Yes.
Right? A tournament full of short series includes. It doesn't.
Yes.
It's fewer short
fine.
Series.
I am fine with that. I am completely
right.
fine with that. I just, again, you are. I don't need to see a bunch of bang average teams in the postseason. It's just not aesthetically
okay.
pleasing to me.
I think that's fine.
I think you build better teams, basically, is what I'm saying. Just build better teams.
Sure. I think that's fine. I also think when you get to shorten the Phillies' rotation,
no, absolutely.
They're better than a bang average.
I would
team.
Also, yeah, that's fine. I would also make them. If it were me,
you play back to back to back.
I make them play five games or four and five or five. You make them use more of the roster.
Right.
Yeah. I would.
Right. I agree.
I want to see Kyle Gibson down 2-1 and just like trying to, that's compelling too, in a way. Like I'm trying to gut it out.
Can you gut it out?
Yeah. Can you gut it out?
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. The reliance on bullpens changes significantly. You're not throwing Noah Syndergaard for three innings no matter what.
No.
Yeah, he was good for those three innings, and they pulled him because they could with the way the bullpen works.
It's not even the upset. It is that, to a level, playoff baseball does not. And, like, I understand that playoff baseball isn't going to because of the stakes in a lot of ways. Like, guys are going to throw on short rest, and you're going to –
But it's also the off days.
It's the off days, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, I agree with all of that, but I also think there's kind of too much, you know,
storm and drang
about all this stuff. Like, I mean, look, these teams, again, like, we can talk about whether the Padres, I mean, the Padres outplayed the Dodgers. That's the reality.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm going to say, like, this is also like a Twitter isn't real life thing, because no one's actually watching these afternoon playoff games either, except the psychos on baseball Twitter. Of which I include myself, but
I don't know.
The ratings are not actually, like, whatever. They banked the rights fees for it, but it's just not like, not like rate. I mean, for the time slot, they're fine, but again, you're putting on these games at like 3 o'clock on FS1. People aren't going to watch them. Can't really watch them in a lot of cases. I think that's part of the problem with the expanded playoffs. Well, if you do four playoff teams, with a staggered DS and LCS, you can put all those games in primetime for the most part.
Yeah, I had someone complain about it. I don't care. I don't care when they broadcast them.
I know. You don't care because we're both sitting in the office on our second screen putting on whatever.
The March Madness plays games at noon on a Thursday, and no one seems to have a problem with it.
Sure.
I don't know. I just think
that's once a year. It's appointment television in a way that I don't.
This is once a year.
Fair enough.
It's the same tournament.
Far fewer people are gambling on Rays Guardians than the first day of March Madness. Although I'm sure that gap is narrowed.
I want to make it about gambling. I'm sure the league's thrilled.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. Are.
I mean, look. All I'm saying is, like, you know, whatever. Like, UNC made it to the title as an 8 seed last year, and no one threw a hissy fit in March Madness. This shit happens. It doesn't. Right. They were not a good team most of the season. They had a great little run. I don't know if that makes them a great team or not.
Right. And again, this is like a sample size thing too, right? If it's 30 games of a mostly division, whatever made up out of conference schedule you want, is not actually going to be representative of the team's true talent per se in the same way.
And here's the other part is that
baseball games.
We talk about the randomness of the playoffs, and it's true. It's that the element is there. But, like, Ginny Searle wrote an article on BP today. The vast majority of the teams that are legitimately actually good in the regular season, they're doing well. They're reaching the World Series. A lot of them are winning the World Series.
Bauman argued me is the first year of this system, although I would count 2020, broadly speaking, as this system as well. So it seems more random. And it's like, look, you do this for long enough, you're going to get a 5 versus 6 seed in the championship series at some point. And we'll get to it in a second. You know, Philly outplayed Atlanta in the same way San Diego outplayed LA. I'm just like, and I get that, you know, Philly is a better team now than they were in the regular season with a healthy Harper and, again, shortening their rotation. It's just like, I mean, they almost fell out to Milwaukee the last 2 weeks of the season, last week of the season, really. This is not actually.
I think they went 14-17.
It's not
September.
A great baseball team. I know it doesn't matter now, but it.
I think it should have mattered they're above
when they
average.
Were thinking. Sure, I think it should have mattered when they were designing a playoff system. Basically,
they should have. I mean, you would like to see Philly do more than get Noah Syndergaard in terms of their rotation.
Sure,
I mean, look, I like that they went and got Brandon Marsh, and he came up. We'll get to him in a minute. I do want to say one last thing. Right. We're going to quickly do what's next for the Dodgers, but I want to say one last thing on this whole thing on the Dodgers really quick is that I did also see people. I mean, look, I think Dodger fans are being very whiny about this.
Absolutely.
And that's part of being a fan. That's fine. But they were being very whiny about, oh, well, like, it should be seven games and the better team. Look, man, you got outplayed and you lost.
You're down 3-1. It's no guarantee you're winning 3-1. You're down 3-1.
It wasn't going to go. I mean, look, they came back against Atlanta in 2020.
Yeah, they could.
It happens. But, yeah. Like, I don't know, man. It wasn't looking great. Not to say it couldn't happen, but I don't think, look, if you lost the next game, if you lose 4-1 in that series, like, you would still feel the way you feel right now. So yeah. I don't know what to tell you. But I then saw a reaction to that, you know, ever since 2020, people say, oh, it's a, you know, that's a Mickey Mouse ring. It's not real. It's
they were
fraudulent,
the best team in the league that year and had to win an extra round of the playoffs.
Right.
Like,
so
what
I
do
agree
you think
that.
The other 102 games were going to show you about that team? We've seen they've won 100 games on either side of it for years.
I was going to say, look at the years around it. Number one and number two, either. And then they say, obviously, they're choking, you know, because they had 111 wins this year and they lost in the NLDS, which, okay, if you want to say they choked, like they lost, right? They got outplayed. But either the regular season and its length and whatever matters, and it says that they're the best team because they won 111 games in 2022 and that kind of thing matters. And they're, you know, they're, if not the best, at least like top two, either that matters. Or the regular season doesn't matter and the shortened season doesn't make a lick of fucking difference. And they won in the playoffs with a larger field than anyone's ever encountered. And so that's a legitimate championship.
People just want to get their
dunks in
for all they're saying about the regular season. Whatever.
It's one or the other. It doesn't have to be both. Yeah. Right. Yes. I understand it's just people dunking and the whole thing is to get a reaction. But I'm just saying those are like legitimately mutually exclusive items. You cannot have them both.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. What's next for the Dodgers?
They're
going
to win 110 games and try to win in the playoffs again. There you go.
Are they going to re-sign Trey Turner?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah.
I think they are more likely than not to re-sign Trey Turner. I do not think it's a lock.
Yeah, I don't think it's a lock either. He did not want to go to LA when he was traded. He seems happy there.
Winning,
but
as much as
I'm
they
sure
do,
he likes
seems,
the winning.
Yeah, they will pay him. I don't think that
if,
will be an issue.
If they will, well, we'll see. I don't know. He's going to be 30 next year. They've done Freeman. That was only 6 years. They've obviously did the big commitment to Betts. He's a future Hall of Famer. They tend not to go after the 30 plus guys if they can avoid it. I don't know.
He'd be a good fit for the Yankees, but they don't seem to. And they seem to be holding. I don't know if it's for Volpe or Peraza. You know, obviously Turner can play some center as well. I think, especially in that part.
Seattle's probably not going to spend for him.
They probably should.
They should.
Big St. Louis vibes.
They don't do those deals. I mean, they've got Goldschmidt and they've got, which is on a, not a
gonna
massive
get
deal
the,
like that.
Like, what is he going to get? Like 8-250?
That's a good question. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to get 300 given his age, but it's not impossible.
That's still 31 and a half a year and they have Goldschmidt and they have Arenado.
Yeah.
No longer at it. Well, assuming he doesn't opt out, I don't think he's going to. I don't know. I could see him. Boy, if Boston lets Xander go, that's to me a screw up, but they might.
If they're letting Xander go, I don't think they're paying $8,250 for Turner.
More for him. Yeah. I'll tell you the interesting team is I think Philadelphia is going to go get a shortstop. I don't know which one.
I could see that.
I think they're going to get a shortstop because I think I might be wrong. I think Gene Segura's deal is up and they'll shift second.
But I mean, they need a shortstop regardless. They're in the NLCS. They could win it all at this point. But if they are serious about being competitive in that division, the medium to long term, they need to upgrade shortstop. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I don't know who else really, really fits as a team that needs someone like that. You know, San Francisco, you could see them go for somebody, but Crawford still is signed through 2023. So that's an awkward, you know, situation somewhat. I don't know. That's the big one to me. And I do wonder what they're going to do. The other really awkward one is Cody Bellinger. what they're going to do with him. He was not happy about being benched in their last game.
Did they do the weird arbitration? Like, is he just straight arb, or did they do the weird like extension plus one?
He's arb four, and the estimation is 18.1 million. He wasn't good.
Yeah.
He plays good defense. The market for center fielders is horrible.
Yeah, it's Judge and Nimmo, neither of whom.
It's Nimmo, right. I mean, but it's not a great situation.
No.
So, yeah, I don't know. They've got some questions. Kershaw said right afterwards that he's leaning towards coming back.
And I think
he comes back, it'll be with them. I don't think it'll be with the Rangers. Not sure really who else. Justin Turner, they have a $16 million player option on. So this is a big, you know, potentially transitional offseason.
Sure, they're going to win 110 games and try to win in the playoffs again.
All right. On that note, we'll take a break. We'll be back with our last three topics. We're back with episode 249 of Five and Dive, our third segment, Sweeps of Philadelphia. Is that a Streets of Philadelphia?
Yes, it is,
I don't know what the, okay. I don't know. I don't, it's not. Anyway, we just had this discussion about San Diego. It applies to, it applies to Philly. Yeah. They outplayed Atlanta. There was a lot more offense in this, in this series. There's a lot more questionable relief from Philly than there was from San Diego.
Yeah.
Everyone's big surprise, but they did enough.
They did do it.
They won in four games, just like San Diego. I thought it was a convincing series win.
Yeah, again, I mean, they did not, with Fried not right and Strider not really, probably shouldn't have even started in that game. I know why he did. That's a big difference when the other team has Nolan Wheeler ready to go.
Yeah, and Charlie Morton didn't seem.
Yeah, I mean, he's been like a 4 ERA guy all year. I mean,
he had been better since like mid-June. Yeah. He had been really bad up to that point. But yeah, it was still like 3.8 ERA, I think, from mid-June on. And Philly can hit. I mean, this I thought was interesting was Bryce Harper had the home run in the series against St. Louis, but otherwise was pretty quiet. And he just went off.
Yeah, he can do that.
Yeah, he can do that. I think people weren't sure if he was fully healthy. He hadn't looked great down the stretch, that kind of thing. He went off. Kyle Schwarber still not hitting. But they're getting, you know, we talked about the bottom of San Diego's lineup. I wouldn't say it's quite the same kind of consistency of you know, San Diego getting contributions from Grisham and Nola that way, maybe some from Ha-Sung Kim. But Brandon Marsh had a big home run in game four to kick things off. You had the bat spike from Rhys Hoskins. Gene Segura is contributing throughout. Alec Baum, not great, but is working at bats and getting on base a little bit. This is a good lineup, and that's still with Schwarber. You know, JT Realmuto's hitting. That's with Schwarber struggling, and I think they wore down the Atlanta pitching. Again, to your point, Fried not fully healthy. Strider definitely not fully healthy. Kyle Wright was kind of the only guy who looked like he did in the regular season, and they won that game.
Yeah. This was a weird, just, I don't know. It was both not as weird as I expected, given it was Philly versus Atlanta, which is kind of some fairly pedestrian Philly wins all in all, despite, again, occasionally the bullpen's best effort to make things interesting. I would say we talked about this on the last show, David Robertson injuring himself, celebrating Bryce Harper's home run in the divisional series. I don't know. I don't know what I expected. It did feel like kind of, I don't know. I say this as a perspective of a Mets fan. It just sort of felt like the Atlanta Mets games down the stretch had more juice than these, and which is a weird thing to say, I guess, but given that this was in the playoffs, but yeah.
I mean, I don't know. The environment in
Philly, the Phillies fans were up for it, to be clear.
They showed up, and that, I mean, that home run from Hoskins, and then was like there's a base hit and then another home run. I mean, that was pretty electric.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was a very fun series. I enjoyed it. I've been enjoying like the Philly people going nuts at the stadium. And I mean, I will tell you, if you want a little bit of weird, JT Realmuto hitting an inside the park home run as a catcher.
Yes. I mean, he runs well.
You know, he runs well. Absolutely. He's a very athletic catcher. Ronald
Acuña's effort for the baseball.
I saw people getting up in arms about this, and I saw people kind of defending it in the sense of like, if he had run full speed to the spot the ball ended from the moment, like he wouldn't have beat Michael Harris to it, which I find hard to believe. I also don't look, he should be backing up.
Yeah, sure.
We can defend whatever all we want. He should be backing up. Would it have made a big difference if JT Realmuto ended up that, you know, on third from that hit? No, I don't think so.
Yeah, sure.
So I also don't know that I don't know that he, you know, him backing up it would have stopped Realmuto from scoring. It was a weird hit. It took a long time to happen. Whatever. I don't know. I just am not that into debating whether the guy, he should have been backing up and he didn't. And that's kind of the end of the line. It happens a lot more than people think. I assume it just mostly doesn't happen to matter.
Right.
Outside of that, you have in our document, the Acuña narrative. Is there a different narrative?
No. The hustle or whatever.
Okay. I wasn't sure if it was something else. So what is next for Atlanta, Jeffrey?
It's an interesting question. Obviously, Swanson's a free agent. Yeah, Morton, they already re-signed. So you're going into 2023.
Yes, Alex Anthopoulos has very famously extended the entire fucking team.
Yes, it can be basically the same team other than Dansby Swanson.
It doesn't seem like he's going to come back.
I don't think he is. I don't know if they will just, you know, you want to talk about landing spots for Trey Turner. I don't know if they're going to spend that kind of... This was like alluded to in a Ken Rosenthal piece, but they really haven't gone over like low 20s AAV on any of these guys.
Right.
So I don't know if they would do that for you know, Trey Turner or Dansby Swanson himself. They can play Vaughn Grisham at shortstop. I don't know that I necessarily recommend that. They could play Albies at shortstop, honestly, although given the injuries he's had, I don't know if you'd want to do that either.
I kind of thought Atlanta was a possible destination for Turner, if only because he's a Florida guy.
Sure.
And he's not signing with the Rays and he's not signing with the Marlins.
Yeah.
And we've seen them do this with like Charlie Morton, right?
Yeah.
Charlie Morton said he was going to play in Florida or retire. And then he's played 3 or 4 years, whatever it is with Atlanta.
Yeah.
I do wonder if they get like a little discount. I also like, to your point about the AAVs, it's true, but they also like, you bank all that.
Sure.
You know, you lock it in. Theoretically. Sometimes you do it to do something with it.
Yep.
I don't know. Ideally, you do something with it. To the owners, maybe you don't.
I expect DePicota will project the Mets and Atlanta to be within a game of each other next year, and I'll be miserable the entire time. It's fine.
Yeah. It did this year. It was about 10 wins off on both of them.
Yeah.
But they were near each other. So at least there's that. Yeah. Again, Eddie Rosario is still around next year.
They need another good landing spot for Brandon Nimmo. They need another corner outfielder, a left fielder specifically. Yeah.
I mean, the problem is they have Ozuna through 2024.
I mean, they've been basically platooning him though. So.
Yeah, and then they have Rosario through next year.
Yeah, I mean, but that's Rosario's not making a ton. Ozuna, obviously.
It's only $9 million next year.
That's not a ton for like a bench outfielder.
I think it's a lot for a bench guy, but fair enough. I mean, you know, whatever. They are. I mean, look, they have plenty of money to spend. If you look at Kotz right now, They are at 192 million or so on the 40-man CBT payroll. That leaves what, 42-ish million to 233, which I think it is next year.
I don't know if Liberty Media wants first to threshold. Go to that. I guess we'll find out.
I would be surprised a little bit. That also doesn't factor in Max Fried is get in his ARB 3 year. Yeah. So that'll add a substantial amount. Mike Soroka and AJ Minter also in ARB 3. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they have some interesting choices to make. Our fourth segment. Okay. This is too much rain. We had the second delay. We were expecting to record this knowing the results of both of all the LDS series. I should say, not both. We did not get it. There was some poor communication, I would argue, from MLB last night.
Yeah, I really thought they'd try to play this. I mean, they had to start at 11.
They opened the gates at 5.
I know you wrote the whole article about the Yankees being the Mets now, but this is some prime Wilpon stuff to order the Mets. Open the gates on a shaky weather forecast, get the parking, get the concessions.
Yeah.
And then
They were there for what? They opened the gates at 5. I don't blame the Yankees as much as I do the league on this. I don't think
I get it. You want to get this game in because of the travel. You want to give them a travel day.
But I also think if you're going to do that, just play it at 10 o'clock. I understand people are going to bitch and moan about it, but like, you opened the gates at 5. You didn't make an announcement until 6:40 that so it's going to be delayed.
And then
you didn't update them on it until 9:40.
Yeah.
And that update was it's canceled. That's four hours later.
Yeah.
It's not great. Anyway, they're going to play today in about 2.5 hours.
Yeah. They does allow the Yankees start Nestor Cortez.
Yankees get to start their top two pitchers twice in a 5-game series because of this schedule. That's a treat.
It is.
I thought it was interesting. Is this three? I got because of the rest. I'm all the days off. I'm all thrown off. How many days rest is this for Cortez?
It's so he pitched game two, right?
Yes.
It was 3-4.
Which was
it's 3 days rest.
The late, which was 2 days after
game. Yes, it's 3. It's 3 days rest. Yeah.
3 days rest. Okay. Yeah. And the Guardians appear, as I think we talked about this, not to be pitching Bieber. They're going to, or at least not to start him. They're going to start Aaron Saval. I don't know. I don't know. You want to make a prediction on this one? You got to favor the Yankees. I know it's 3 days rest.
They're allowed to throw Cortez. The bullpen gets an extra day's rest. We don't have to worry about Clay Holmes' shoulder. Which seems to be a major concern of Aaron Boone. We should talk about that, I guess. The weird, like...
Oh, yeah, we should talk about that. That is, that seems... There seems to be some dissension in the ranks.
Yeah, that is the most pointed quote I've ever seen several players give about the manager of a division-winning team in the playoffs, I think.
So we should point out... the Guardians won game three after scoring 3 runs in the ninth inning off of not Clay Holmes.
Not Clay Holmes. Your main man, who had pitched Gonzalez with the big knock. Yeah.
Yeah. He's turning into quite the clutch batter. He's three walk-offs this postseason. They scored 3 in the ninth off of not Clay Holmes.
Yeah.
Clay Holmes expected to be available, told Boone he was available. Is coming off of a shoulder capsule injury, something like that. Something with his shoulder. Boone did not tell anyone he was not available.
Including Clay
Holmes. Holmes was not available. What? Including Clay Holmes.
Right. He wanted Clay Holmes to stay ready in case of an emergency.
Now, to be clear, the Yankees gave up 3 runs and lost a playoff game to go down 1-2 in the series in the ninth inning.
Emergency. He clarified
they like that would constitute
extra innings
emergency.
Or out of pitchers or
look,
whatever.
He didn't want to use him. And that's fine. He wanted to protect his shoulder. That's fine. Aaron Boone is not managing this team for his X's and O's. It's right? I mean, he's supposed to be
I guess.
A communicator.
I guess. Yeah, I suppose that's the reason.
I mean, that's, I don't know what else it would be. It's not because he's pushing all the right buttons in high leverage situations.
It is not, no.
So I don't know. I don't understand. I don't, that was baffling. And the quotes, I don't have them directly in front of me. Mm-hmm. It was Clay Holmes said, I was available and I was expecting to pitch.
Yes. And I think Severino has like, you got to ask the manager. I don't know. They said, I want to see Clay Holmes there. Yeah.
Yeah.
We all want to see Clay Holmes.
Started the game said, I expected to see Holmes. You'd have to ask Boone.
Yeah.
And the explanation Boone gave even the next day was not, it does not really reflect well on him in terms of if these were the thoughts you had, you should have just communicated them to somebody.
Well, fortunately, he has earned a lot of grace from that fan base. So I assume if they lose today, it won't blow back on him at all.
Yeah, no, surely not. All right. So who do you think wins this game?
I think the Yankees won.
Right.
I said Yankees in five, so I might as well stick with Yankees in five.
I think I agree with you at the time. I don't even remember, but I think that's right. I might have said four. I do think the Yankees win. 3 days rest, you never know.
Yeah.
This Cleveland team, I know that they had the big comeback. They've come back off the Yankees bullpen. Both
the
their
bottom
wins,
of that lineup, man. Especially like
the bottom of the lineup
yesterday, the whole 2 days ago now is, in big spots. Like, yeah.
I will say, David Roth wrote a very good piece about the volatility of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. By the way, that I think everyone should read. He pointed out like Oscar Gonzalez was not even in our Cleveland Guardians chapter in the annual last year, and has not been since 2018. When he was
probably
like,
should have been. I think we ranked him in the top 10.
Well, Jeff, as you may know, we don't always have the top 10s.
No, I know.
While the lists are being formulated, for the player list.
Uh-huh.
But what I would say to this is it was not a criticism of the annual in him saying this.
No,
it was more that he was an unknown and the Guardians left him unprotected in the Rule 5 draft. Yeah. 2 years ago and were set to do it again had there been a Rule 5 draft this year. So Oscar Gonzalez is a fantastic story of development and his personal achievement. I don't think this was you quote tweeted Ben Spanier mm-hmm. about him, I think from 2019, and how he liked him as the ability to hit. He's not a good defender in right field, and he's maybe not got the power to support this profile. We'll see. He hit pretty well this year though. But yeah, just a really fun story. And I thought it was worth pointing out. RJ Anderson has been reminding me multiple times, like the guy was unprotected. They didn't even think he was that good.
We ranked him 19th on the 2020 list and have not ranked him since.
Okay. So I think it's okay.
Yeah,
the other part is, and credit to the Guardians. They have a very deep system.
Yeah. And they're also pretty good at player development. Yeah. Granted, better
right.
pitching
they've
than
got
hitting,
a lot
but
of guys.
They've done pretty well at hitting recently too.
They have. They don't have a lot of like big bats, but like they've got a lot of middle infielders who can hit.
I'll also point out they're playing Gabriel Arias at first base to get his bat in the lineup, which on one level,
compared to Owen Miller,
right? I mean, he has like 25 plate appearances in the majors and. I like him as a hitter. A lot of his value is derived from being a very good shortstop. He's apparently not a very good first baseman based on his footwork there in game four.
Well, I don't think he's played it a lot.
No, so. I don't think he has either.
And yet, I think this is the right decision.
It's probably the right decision. It didn't look great at the plate either, but again, I think the right decision.
Again, probably the right decision. It's again, it's all relative.
I'm guessing he'll be, I haven't seen if they post, I'm guessing he'll be starting there today against a lefty, so.
Yeah, well, again, Owen Miller is the other option. So right. I know they prefer facing a righty to get Will Brennan in the lineup, which, again, is another one of these guys. Like, who?
I don't understand as I pointed out when I saw the lineup, like Ahmed Rosario is the third best shortstop in that lineup. I think he's only third because I don't think Jose Ramirez can really play there anymore, but he might be the fourth best shortstop in that lineup.
And he's always playing shortstop. I don't know. I think he might not really be able to play anywhere else. I know they tried him in the outfield.
Yeah,
and
the
stuff
Mets
like tried
it. You could play him at second, though, and play at least play Jimenez at shortstop. I think it's like
Yeah. Can he really play second? I don't know. Maybe it's it might be like a mental thing where he doesn't.
All right.
I hear you, yeah. But it might be like a mental thing where he just doesn't adapt as well. And speaking of, I mean, speaking of Jimenez, he has not shown up much this series or this postseason. And that's part of why the team, I mean, look, I say they've struggled. They're in the fifth game and they won their previous series. Mm-hmm. It's not that bad, but like offensively, they've not been great. Anyway, we'll move on to our last segment, previewing the NLCS. We're going to do it the same way we have the others. We only have the NLCS again because we don't know the ALCS yet. The Phillies will win if...
The day man cometh.
Okay.
So, you want me to explain
I know this is always
it's
sunny.
Like, it's like the weird Philly vibes, right?
Uh-huh.
The weird Philly vibes need to continue. We need like Hitchbot references, and it's always like, it's just like, basically they need to win every game in Philly is my vibe.
Yeah. There. I mean, I think the episode, it's interesting. You went to Dayman, Fighter of the Night. That you went to the Dayman episode because I keep thinking of Philly and the episode where the gang solves the gas crisis and Charlie is the wild card. Yeah, they're wild card.
Yeah, yeah.
You
Fair
know?
Enough. Yeah.
That's this playoffs at this point. That's this postseason. Mm-hmm. I said the Phillies will win if they win one Ranger Suarez game.
Okay.
They need to win one. Look, I said they needed to win game one to win the last series. They did win that game. Now, I didn't really expect them to lose the Zach Wheeler game, but they did. But they won. They won the Noah Syndergaard game.
The Ranger Suarez game gives you a little more margin for error.
Yeah. Well, the other part is you're going to get two in a 7-game series. You're going to get two starts from him.
Yes.
I think this is a very even matchup,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to match up against Joe Musgrove twice. That's a disadvantage, in my mind. For Philadelphia, and I think they need to win one of them. Obviously, if it gets to the second one, that's the deciding game. But they need to win one of them to win this series. I think it's going to be hard to win without getting one from him because, again, the flip side is your fourth starter is Noah Syndergaard or Kyle Gibson. The Padres' fourth starter is Mike Clevinger or Sean Manaea. But again, I think Musgrove versus Suarez is a bigger deal, mm-hmm. or is a big gap. The Padres will win if
Trent Grisham keeps hitting. This is like a proxy for. There's always one guy, right, that just comes out of nowhere because Grisham's been a good hitter in the past. But there's always just one guy He was awful this year. He really lengthens the lineup for them.
Yeah.
When he's hitting too, and this lineup is also kind of a couple, you know, Austin Nola hasn't had a great season.
No, but he's had a great postseason.
Right. So yeah. I guess you could just say if the bottom of the lineup keeps.
Yeah, hitting. Because they've been turning it over to Profar or Kim at the top,
mm-hmm.
to Soto, who hasn't been great, but is still taking good at bats, and then to Machado. And again, like those five guys have been really good. Bell and Drury. Not that much. Cronenworth has been very good. Obviously, the crucial at bat in game four against the Dodgers. I said the Padres will win if Juan Soto shows up. And again, he's not been awful because he's always on base and working the count.
Mm-hmm.
He's had one extra base hit this whole postseason.
He's like hitting the ball hard in the opposite field. Like he's had some good at bats.
He's hit it right at people sometimes. Yep. Again, I know. But I do think. Again, you've got either Profar or Kim at the top, depending righty or lefty. Then it's Soto, then Machado, then Cronenworth. There's like a dead spot after Cronenworth and before you get to Grisham or Nola right now. And I think you need Soto to be, you know, I think he needs to do a little bit of what Bryce Harper's done for this team, for Philadelphia, I should say. I think he needs to do it for San Diego. I need to see a home run. I need to see some doubles. I think he needs to drive in some runs and keep the lineup moving, basically. With that in mind, what is your official prediction?
Padres in 7.
Okay. I'm going to go with Man, I don't know. This is a close series. I think the Padres are a little better. It's that Musgrove
versus Suarez. I think the Phillies pen has won just utter complete meltdown in them in like game five or something.
Yeah, I just wonder if the lineup isn't a bit better.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. Something about the Phillies this year. I'm gonna say this is like emotional more than it is or like gut feel more than it is intellectual. I'm gonna say Phillies in six. I don't have a great reason. I think the Padres are a little bit better.
They did just put David Robertson on the NLCS roster. So
I saw they dropped Nick Nelson off. So that helps the bullpen a little bit. Assuming he's healthy. The Padres are favored by Pecota 52.9%. Sure. So very close. Very close series. I will tell you, I can give you the game by game breakdown. I have Clevinger versus Syndergaard for game four. I'm not sure what the Padres are going to do. Yeah. Not sure what the Phillies are going to do for that game. But the game by game breakdown is San Diego favored 53% game one, 54% game two, 40. The Phillies are favored 51% game three. Phillies favored 51.5% game four. Phillies favored 57% game five.
Such compelling
Padres
radio.
Favored 54. Padres favored 58%. I'm just saying, this is a very close series game by game.
Yes, yes.
They're all basically like true coin flips, not even 55-45 in a lot of these situations. So I don't know. I thought that was interesting. It's going to be very tight. Anything else you want to say before we say goodbye, Jeffrey?
No.
All right. Well, goodbye. No, I'm kidding. Thank you for co-hosting this episode. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in to another episode of Five and Dive, brought to you by the Baseball Perspectives Podcast Network and our Patreon supporters. You can support the Patreon at patreon.com/fiveanddive. You can email the show at fiveanddive@baseballperspectives.com. We are wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Baseball Perspectives Podcast Network and we'll be in that feed. I'm not entirely sure when we'll be back. I don't know. Friday,
same.
Probably.
Don't know.
We'll see how the series go. We'll see if they all get rained out. We don't know. You know,
rains a lot in San Diego, so you know.
Hey, it did in game four. So you never know. And it's always sunny in Philadelphia, so probably not rain in that series. We'll see. Thank you again. We'll see you later this week.